praise, God. We serve a good God. Our God is a good God. No matter what's going on, no matter what the situation is, we serve a God that is more than enough. And our God is able to help us and to get us through this situation. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for every single person that is watching us right now all around the world. And Father God, we thank you as we minister to them tonight. We thank you, Father, that the anointing of God will touch them, will set them free, Father, will help them in whatever they're going through. And Father, we thank you that tonight as we go to study your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be a doer of the word and not just hearer only. And we thank you, Father, that we'll take forth the word that we hear and we'll go out and share the love of Jesus with our virtual world right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation, for revival to this world. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you, Father, that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But Father, we thank you for that anointing that's present tonight. And we thank you, Father, that if someone is watching and they're going through a difficult time they're in this situation, we thank you that that anointing will reach out and touch them spiritually, financially, physically, emotionally, in every way. And we thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing all across this world. And we give you the praise, honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. God is a good God. And we do miss you, Rhema Bible Church. You know, it's not easy to preach to an empty auditorium, basically. But praise God, we know that you're right there with us. We know you're watching. You know you're not just watching, you're participating with us. And we're so excited. I know Easter's going to be a lot different this year, but we're so excited that we can still celebrate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection on this Sunday. And we're praying for you. I want to start out with a scripture I read quite a bit here. John 10:10, and many of you have heard me read it many, many, many times. It says this: the thief, El Diablo, the devil, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, but I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Going to the New Living Translation, it says it this way: the thief's purpose, or the devil's purpose, is to steal, kill, and to destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And I want you to understand that right now we're going through a epidemic or a problem called COVID-19. And I want you to understand that the thief, the devil, is the author of COVID-19. He has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy us. And you know, it's destroyed a lot of things. It's destroyed our economy. It's destroyed, you know, restaurants. It's destroyed businesses. And it's destroyed humans. But Jesus said that I came that you might have an abundant life. Or he says, I came to give you a rich and satisfying life. Now, right now, many of you are not living an abundant life. You know, being holed up in your house is not an abundant life. It's not rich and satisfying. Especially, it's not rich and satisfying to know that you don't have a job to go back to. And, you know, not knowing how you're going to pay your bills. But I'm here to tell you that we need to speak against this disease. You know, they've been talking to us. You know, it's interesting now that our vocabulary has changed a lot over the last month or so. You know, social distancing is now the new word that everyone talks about. Basically, that means that, you know, we're trying to isolate ourselves from each other. You know, and that's not what God, you know, that's not his intention. That's not why Jesus came, for us to social distancing. I mean, you know, I think Jesus came for us to be able to be close together and to fellowship together. And this is not his purpose. And we need to understand this is the devil that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy from us. And so, you know, they've been talking about flattening the curve, getting over the curve. But I'm here to tell you today how we can obliterate the curve. We need to get rid of this virus. Not just flatten it, not just that less people die or less people get sick. I'm tired of this situation. I'm tired of this circumstance. And I believe it's up to us to do something about it. You know, a lot of us have been sitting around just wondering how we're going to get through life. But it's time for us to decide that enough is enough. Now, over in Luke chapter 10, in verse 19, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Jesus here, and it's in red letters here, he says, "Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy." Over all the power of the enemy. Not just part of it, not just some of it, but Jesus said, "I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy." Now, many people, obviously it goes on to say, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you. And most people read that verse, and they talk about snakes and scorpions. But I want to talk about all the power of the enemy tonight. You know, I don't really care about the snakes and scorpions right now. I'm saying that we have authority to speak against this virus, because this virus is one of the powers of the enemy. And we have been given that authority to speak against it. I know myself, not just one time a day, but multiple times a day, I've been speaking against this virus. I command this virus to be gone in the name of Jesus. You know, I don't think I'm living life more abundantly right now. And I don't think you are either. And I'm just telling you, I'm sick and tired of it. You know, because if April 30th comes along and the doctors don't like it where it is, they're going to say, "Well, let's do this for more. Let's do this for more." Well, I'm tired of doing this. And some of us, we need to get decide that we're sick and tired of being in our home. You know, some people think, but no evil's coming near my dwelling place or whatever. Well, so what? You know what? If you're healthy and at home, it's still not abundant life. You know, and many good Christians are living healthy at home. I mean, you know, they're not sick, but some of you are healthy at home and also without a job, without no income coming in. And that's not abundant life. And so it's time for us to speak up. And so I want to go to a verse of scripture that actually I preached on 7 weeks ago. I was looking back at my notes. 7 weeks ago, but 7 weeks ago we weren't going through this situation. So I'm going to do it again. All right. It says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, but tonight I want to talk about speaking to the virus. We need to speak to the virus. So let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. In verse 35, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, mainly because it puts things in a way we can understand. And you know, it says this: "As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross to the other side of the lake.' So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up, high waters were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water." Now, I want you to understand that Jesus was not on an ocean. All right, a lot of times we read this verse and we think, well, he's on an ocean. No, he's on a lake. All right, well, here in Oklahoma, it's a really nice day today. Actually, it's 90 degrees here in Tulsa. But we live in an area that they call, green country, and we have lots of lakes here, and we do have quite a bit of wind in Oklahoma, actually, and so sometimes we have a little bit of waves, but I've actually never been on a lake, and today would have been a great day to be on the lake, and, you know, usually if I go to a lake, I want to catch fish or something like that, but I've never actually been on a lake where actually waters came into my boat. So, I mean, that means the waves are pretty high. This is a lake, not an ocean. Now, if you go to an ocean, you know, there's always waves and things like that. That's normal, but this is on a lake. So here they were on this lake, and all of a sudden, a storm came up, and it began to put water into their boat. Now, obviously, that's kind of a scary feeling, you know, because most of you understand that if enough water gets into your boat, the boat's going to sink, and then you're out in the middle of the lake with no boat, all right? And that's not a good thing to be. Anyway, so it says there, you know, the boat began to fill with water. Verse 38, though, it says, "Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat, with his head on a cushion. So here's Jesus, you know, in the middle of a time where everybody's having a bunch of fear and anxiety, Jesus is there in the back of the boat, asleep. Now, I don't know about you, but it's not really easy to sleep whenever water's coming in, but evidently Jesus was pretty tired. So he was able to sleep through a storm. You know, and maybe that's what we need to do, be able to sleep through our storm right now. Actually, I've done a pretty good job of sleeping. When I've been home a lot, and I'm kind of bored, so I'm just sleeping. But you know, the disciples were all getting upset, and they woke him up shouting. I mean, understand, the disciples begin to shout at Jesus, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Well, what happened? It says suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? And do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified and said, "Who is this man?" And they asked each other, even the winds and waves obey him. But I want you to notice that Jesus, whenever he woke up, he did something about the winds and the waves. He spoke up and he said, "Silence, be still." And you know, right now we are going through a time where it feels like that winds or waves are coming to our boat. And you know, and I get it that we have Jesus right there with us, but a lot of us are like, "Jesus, wake up, you know, get up, do something about this." But remember also, he said this, he asked the disciples, "Why are you afraid?" That was the first question. Why are you afraid about what's going on? And I want to ask you today, why are you afraid? The reason that we're afraid is because we're thinking like the world thinks. We're thinking like, you know, that everything's going to be bad. But we have been given the power and authority in the name of Jesus to speak to our situation. In the case that we're living in right now, to speak to this virus, to command it to leave, to command it to die, to command, you know, it to leave each and every person's body here. Because you know what? It's more than a sickness. It's more than just hampering us, you know, physically. It's hampering us in every way. I mean, a lot of us are being hampered emotionally just having to spend time, you know, in one place and, you know, not being able to get out. And, you know, I think that some of us right now, we would love to be able to get into a crowded elevator. We would love to get in the traffic jam. We would love to go to an amusement park and wait an hour to ride a roller coaster. You know, because those things, maybe we didn't like to do that before, but now, you know, we haven't been able to do, you know, life is normal. And normal life right now isn't normal. And this is not normal, and this is only temporal. But you know what? If we don't begin to speak to our situation, then our situation is not going to change. But it's time for us to decide that we're going to stand up and speak to our storm. You know, I know many of us were waiting on Jesus to speak to our storm. You know, but it's kind of ironic because you say you're waiting on Jesus, but you're getting ready to celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he gave you the authority in his name to speak to your own storm. And really, it's up to you right now. Because, you know, whenever he says, he was hanging on the cross and he says, "It is finished," he was meaning that his work was finished now. And now it's up to you to decide that you're going to either going to live through this storm or you're going to get rid of the storm. That's your choice. You have a choice to decide that you're going to speak to it or decide that you're just going to let it overtake you and fill your boat. Now, either way, you're going to get to the other side because Jesus said you're going to make it to the other side. You know, but I'm tired of the storm coming into my boat right now. My boat has enough water right now. I'm sick of my situation. And you know, and I've been able to get out more than most people. I've been doing more than most people. And I'm still tired of it. You know, it's not a fun time right now. And I have decided, as well as many other people decided, that we're going to start speaking to this situation. And I know many people say, well, Craig, I'm praying. But you know, at some point in time, we need to quit praying and start saying. You know, if you're a follower of this ministry, I mean, we believe in saying with our mouth. Mark 11:23 talks about speaking to your mountain. Well, your mountain right now happens to be a virus. that has overtaken the world. But you know, something that's really interesting, I begin to think about this, and you know, Walt Disney, you know, had a ride a number of years ago, and still there at Disney World and Disneyland today, called It's a Small World After All. You know, it is pretty interesting, because I looked it up. Wuhan, China is a little over 7,000 miles from where I'm standing right now. 7,000 miles, and if the origin is correct, but some people say that one person in Wuhan, China, getting a hold of a virus has basically affecting the whole world, that 7,000 and 10,000 miles from the China, one person has affected the whole world. And I begin to think about that in a negative situation, but then I'll start thinking about positive. You realize that one person can affect the whole world? And if one person can affect the whole world, do you realize that if one person can decide to take their authority in the name of Jesus, that we can eradicate this? And there's more than one person of you watching us right now. You know, we're probably going to have like 10,000 people watch this broadcast, maybe more. And if we would all begin to take our authority, if one person can cause a virus to go around the world, think of what 10,000 people could do. You know, the Bible says if you just have two people, you can change a lot. But praise God, we have more than two. But it's time for us to be able to decide, you know what, we're going to get rid of this virus. Now, some people say, well, Craig, how are you going to do that? That seems impossible. Well, the Bible says that things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. It says to only believe. All things are possible if you believe. So I believe right now that we can speak to this virus. Now, I'm not going to call it our virus. It's not my virus. All right? That virus cannot attack my body, according to the Word. Some people will say, I wouldn't say that if I were you. Well, that's what the Bible says. It says that no plague shall come nigh my dwelling place. It can't attack my body. You know, you should wake up every day and say, you know what? COVID-19 cannot affect my body, because it can't. It has no power, has no authority. But you know, I'm tired of it affecting my life. Because, you know, great having a healthy life, living in a house, you know, with everybody, you know, I love my kids, I love my grandkids and stuff, but after a while, I want to be away from them. I want to do other things. I mean, you know, I don't want to be with them 24/7. I mean, some of you are like, you know what? I can't wait to get back to work. You know, these Zoom meetings and these virtual this and virtual that. I mean, I found myself some nights sitting around on Facebook, and I keep refreshing to see if someone will say something interesting, you know, and I'm actually tired of all the bad news. You know, the Bible is good news, and so I every day I speak scriptures. I read scriptures. I build myself up on a daily basis. You know, and sometimes I get it. Our mind can start playing tricks on us and thinking, well, is this the new normal? Is this going to come back in a few more months? And you know, once they release, I mean, people are now getting in fear that once we're able to release and do more things, that it's going to come back and it's going to be worse. And well, you know what? You can have what you say you can have. And what I'm saying is, it's time to not only flatten the curve, it's time to get rid of the curve. You know, I'm not waiting for it to peak this weekend. In fact, praise God, I pray for our president every day, the vice president, the whole task force, all the governors, all the mayors, and all the things that decisions they're having to make, all the medical personnel, especially the medical personnel right now that is working with this virus, both on the vaccine and also with these patients here. And I pray for those people every day. But you know, they've been standing up and telling us, well, this is going to be a bad week. This is going to be one of the worst weeks, you know, and I've heard people talk about, well, it was a bad week for Jesus, but it ended up pretty well after the end of the week. You know, but here's the thing. It doesn't have to be a bad week. We don't have to have thousands more people die this week. It's time for us to take our authority in the name of Jesus and decide, you know, we have been taught that we can have what we say we can have. And I'm not going to ever confess we're going to have a bad week. I never have a bad week. I never confess it. I already told you at the beginning of this year, we told this church this is going to be the best year that I've ever had. And say, well, how's that going to be the best year you ever had? Do you understand that our economy is down to depression levels and things? I'm not moved by what I see. You know, even when I don't see it, it's working. Even when I don't feel it, it's working. It never stops working. God is still working on my behalf. And people say, well, we're fighting an unseen virus. No, we're fighting a known devil. It's not an unseen thing. I know the author of this. The author of this is the devil himself, El Diablo, the thief. I know who's the author. So I know where to attack. You know, and I want to leave you off on a scripture that we all know from Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. And this is where we're at right now, reading from the New Living Translation once again. It says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood, enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So you know what? We need to come against these unseen spirits that we might not see, but we know they exist. All right, we know that the devil is the god of this world, and he has power and authority to attack. And if you don't believe that, then you can't believe your Bible, because the devil was there in the Garden of Eden in the beginning, and he attacked Adam and Eve, and he's been attacking mankind ever since. And this is an all-out attack by the devil, because I believe that the devil, just like we all know, we know revival is on the way. And I think, you know, this whole thing actually has caused more people to turn to Jesus. People that maybe were on the outskirts, maybe that really weren't thinking about God, are now, you know, they're tuned in. They're watching their church. And I guarantee you, once the church doors are open, they'll be there. But because you know what? This is serious right now. And we need to come against these unseen powers from the enemy. We need to speak our authority. And we need to say, in the name of Jesus, we command that this virus stop now. We command that people that are sick will instantly be healed. We command that this spread will stop. We're going to stop the spread because we're going to stop the devil. And the way we do that is we open up our mouth. And like I said, sometimes it's a time to pray and sometimes it's a time to speak. And I believe that we've been praying enough and it's time for us to speak. It's time for us to decide that we're not, people are like, well, Jesus, do something. Jesus, do something. 2,000 years ago, Jesus already did something. He took the stripes on his back for your healing. So by his stripes, we were healed. And we know that. But also he went down and he defeated the devil. And he gave us the authority at the name of Jesus to speak to that enemy. In fact, the Bible tells us that demons tremble at the name of Jesus. And so at the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we command this dreaded disease, this dreaded virus, we command it to go. We thank you, Father, this virus has no power and authority over us, but we thank you, Father, that it has to go in the name of Jesus. And we're going to take our authority. And I want to challenge each and every one of you every day. And I do it multiple times a day, but at least one time a day. I command you, or no, I urge you, I can't command you to do anything, but I urge you to command that this virus ceases. I urge you, you know, to take authority, to decide enough is enough. You know, we serve a God who is more than enough. And I know this is, I'm tired of living in this virtual world, all right? I'm ready to get back to the normal world. All right, I'm not a video game, you know, because our life has turned into almost a video game where we're living in a virtual world and we have virtual friends and we you know, one of my favorite things right now is watching virtual racing, because I love to go to the racetrack and we can't do that. So I watch virtual racing on real TV. I mean, the Fox Network, instead of having NASCAR, now we have virtual NASCAR. It's better than nothing, but I'm tired of it. I'm ready to get back to the new normal. I'm ready, you know, and I know that I listen to the doctor, and thank God for Dr. Fauci and all the other doctors out there, but he's saying, well, you know, when we get back, it's not going to really be normal again. But you know what? Why not? We serve the same God. We have our same God, so why can't it be normal again? I mean, why can't it be a situation where we can hug people, where we can shake hands with people, where we can give people a high five? You know, you'll say, well, you know, from now on, you won't be able to, you know, you probably shouldn't shake hands, you shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that. But why? Why should it stop? You know, because I want to live life more abundantly. I want to live a prosperous life. I want to live a healthy life. I want to live a normal life. And if we want to live a normal life, then we're going to have to decide that we're going to speak to our situation. We're going to speak to our circumstances. We're going to speak to this virus. And I don't want you to call it your virus. We're going to speak to this virus. And we're going to command it to leave and command it to go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So I just want to challenge you once again, each and every day. If not, I do it multiple times. I mean, most of you probably eat three meals a day. Probably right now you're eating three meals and 12 snacks because there's nothing else to do. It's like, you know, you get all this food and then like, you know, you're thinking, man, where'd all my food go? So I've decided that maybe I should get rid of some of my kids and that way my food would stay longer because every time I want my favorite snack, I go in there and like, who ate all my cupcakes or all this or all that? Or I don't really like cupcakes, but you know, I'm just tired of it. I had to buy new Pop-Tarts the other day because somebody ate all my Pop-Tarts. So, but praise God, it'll all be over soon. And the more we decide, you know, like I said, you eat three meals a day, so maybe three times a day, or maybe every time you eat a meal, command this virus in the name of Jesus to leave. You know, do your part. Amen. Praise God. Well, maybe some of you are watching this and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't know that he's my Lord and Savior. So if that's you, I want you to repeat this prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for everything that you're doing on our behalf. And we come to you now in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. The Bible says, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I will be saved. I believe with my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, I want to urge you to email us at partnerservice@rhema.org and let us know that you prayed this sinner's prayer for the very first time and you got saved today. And we want to send you some information. We want to tell you, about your new life with Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, but before we go, can Anthony you come back up here? Here we are. Can you sing that song, Even When I Don't See It, It's Working? You know, that song right there, you know it's one of my favorite songs. So I'm going to have Anthony sing, and then he'll dismiss us. God bless you guys. I think that you need to do what we've been talking about. Command this virus to leave in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Brother Anthony.
Oh, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel